All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton. It is the Week 6 edition of the show as we get set for the Bucks to play on the, I guess what they call the Fox Game of the Week on Sunday afternoon, 4:25 kickoff. It'll be the Packers undefeated coming into Raymond James Stadium to take on the Bucks. Should be a fun one, and I think we're going to be pretty happy about it. It's, you know, been a few days now since the Bears game. This is our second show since the Bears game ended. And like I always say, we needed a few of those days to have more perspective, kind of let things cool off a little bit, which is usually how I do my shows. But we had the one last week where we did it the morning after the Bears game, and it wasn't a happy show, as you might imagine. None of us were happy. I'm still not happy about that game, but, you know, when you have a little bit of time and start looking more forward to the next game than looking back at the previous one, you start to feel a little better. So we're going to talk today. This isn't going to be a terribly long show today, but I have a few things I want to say both about this Bucks-Packers game and about some stuff going on around the league because, you know, situations are big in the NFL. And I think sometimes, you know, we don't realize how closely matched the teams are, even when it's a good team and a bad team, let alone when it's two good teams like I think this matchup is. And so how is each team coming into the game matters a lot. And I think the Bucks were in a bit of a tougher spot on Thursday night, albeit against a lesser Bears team. I think they're in a good spot on Sunday. And so we'll talk about that again coming up on the show. The Free Stretch, as it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where just like the entire time this whole COVID thing's been going on, they have adapted with the times. They are fully functional, and they're ready to serve you any way you need to be served. Because if you want to go over there in person, if you're cool, they're cool, and they got a giant showroom, giant lot, social distancing, no problem. They've taken all the precautions. It's all set up there for you. You can check out and test drive anything you want on the lot. If you'd prefer to stay home, you still need to buy a car, though. Go on the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can check everything out as far as the inventory, and then give them a call. They'll bring the car to your house or your office or wherever you want, really. And then you can test drive it that way. And if you make the purchase, again, they'll bring it right to you. You don't have to leave your house at all for any of this. So they've got it all covered. And no matter how you do it, you're going to get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty where if you buy the car at Bill Curry Ford, it could be a few years later. That thing has some engine troubles. You bring it back in, you're covered under the warranty at their fantastic service center. So check them out. The website, again, BillCurryFord.com. Or go to the site, as it's always been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just over the Hillsboro overpass there. It's on the east side of the road. And go see Sean Sullivan, the GM, and their fantastic staff of salespeople over there. Bill Curry Ford, serving the Tampa area for now 60 years. Longer than almost any of us has been around here. But I've been around here my whole life, and I'm only 40. And I'll tell you, it's been a weird year, obviously, with our sports teams in general. We saw the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, which we talked about on the show. I'm recording this show on Friday morning, and the Rays, as of this recording, are up 3-2. They've had two chances, up 3-0, to win their ALCS and haven't done it yet. Hopefully they do it later on this evening and get to the World Series, which would be unbelievable for Tampa sports. And then we've got the Bucks, who everybody was talking about. They're going to make it a hat trick a few weeks ago, and then now people have kind of cooled off a little bit. So we come into the Packers game, and like I said, I think they're in a really good spot. You know, I'm a numbers guy, so I was looking at the numbers for this game, and, you know, obviously you look at the Packers, haven't been beaten yet. This is not going to be an easy matchup. I mean, you've got a team in Green Bay who is the highest scoring team. They've scored 30-plus every single game so far. They're averaging 38. They've allowed the fewest sacks in the league, only three. Aaron Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception yet. And we don't have Vita Vea anymore, not just this week, but for the rest of the season. And in fact, it's not just Vita Vea. The Bucs are dealing with a few injury issues, and they have not had practice today. Again, I'm recording this Friday morning, but as of yesterday, Carlton Davis is still shaky. He was running on the side, didn't have the full practice. He's got an abdominal thing. Safety Jordan Whitehead, who finished the Bears game, must have happened sometime during this week. He's got a knee thing. And now defensive lineman Khalil Davis, and normally yeah, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. But now anybody on the defensive line is even more important because of Vea being out. He rolled his ankle earlier this week, so they're dealing with that. Offense looks okay. Mike Evans seems like he's good to go. He was ginger in previous weeks. Doesn't seem to be this week. Should have Chris Godwin back. Offensively, the Bucs are getting pretty healthy, but defensively right now, they're dealing with some injury issues on top of the team they're going to be facing in Green Bay. If you look at the DVOA numbers and all the EPA stats and stuff I know some of you maybe don't necessarily know much about or care about, it's not complicated stuff. It's just these are ways of measuring production that are more accurate than just looking at, you know, you see the NFL stats. Oh, the number one defense is the defense that's given up the fewest total yards, and the number one rushing defense is the one that's given up the fewest rushing yards. It's not that simple. There's more stats that go on a play-by-play and take into account every single play of the season and just go yards added per play or not added per play or things like that. So anyway, my point is, I think what we're looking at here is a Green Bay team who specifically on defense is a little bit overrated, and I think the Bucs offense is a little bit underrated. First of all, the Packers have faced three straight teams playing without their top wide receiver, Julio Jones. The Packers were off this past week, which is another thing. They're coming off a bye. But before that, Julio Jones was not right for the Falcons. He took himself out of that game at halftime. The week before that, the Saints didn't have Michael Thomas, and Kenny Galladay was out for the Lions the week before that. They have not played a lot of really solid offenses that were at full production. And like I said, in this case, the Bucs will be, at least offensively, as they should be getting Godwin back. And Mike Evans looks like he's going to be okay as he's had more time to recover from his ankle injury. And then on the other end of it, the Bucs offense is probably a little bit underrated right now. If you look at the DVOA numbers, first of all, overall DVOA, the Bucs are number two in the NFL. Even at 3-2, even with multiple 4 or 5-0 teams, undefeated teams, whatever it is, the Buccaneers are number two in the entire NFL right now. They're rated number 11 offensively. 12th passing, 8th rushing, and they're number 2 defensively, number 4 against the pass, number 3 against the rush. Other metrics have them number 1 against the rush. Either way, the point is, Green Bay, down at number 6, does have the number 1 offense DVOA, but their defense is 29th, okay? So this defense can be had, and if you look a little bit more closely at some of the matchups, here's one specific one. You know, the Packers do have a backup linebacker, Ty Summers, playing right now. He's filling in for Christian Kirksey. He has given up a lot in coverage of running backs. And these are some of the advanced numbers that the people can look up and you can see. So what does that mean for the Bucs? Well, so far, Tom Brady and the Buc offense, Tom Brady has targeted running backs in the passing game I'm talking about, not even running the ball. Tom Brady's targeted running backs in the passing game the 6th most of any quarterback in the NFL. So when you're going up against a weaker linebacker and a guy who's been surrendering more than 2 yards per cover snap like Ty Summers has, you know, that's something you look at that, you know, the Bucs can maybe get something going there. And if you look at having everybody back the way Chris Godwin should be back and the way Mike Evans should be healthy again, it's be the first time in a few weeks we've been able to have both those guys not just back but at full capacity. I think the Bucs offense can get some things done. There's been all kinds of talk about drop passes. That's not an exact science, and it's not an official stat. Different outlets have different ways of counting it. By any of those metrics, the Bucs are among the top 5 teams in the NFL in drop passes. Some say they lead, some say they're tied for 2nd, depending on how you count them. You know, I remember last week in the Bears game, there was a play, I think it was, who was it? I think it was to the tight end. But it wasn't, I can't remember who it was, but there was a pass over the middle and the ball got there right as the defender got there. The defender slammed into our receiver as he was catching the ball. The ball popped out and the announcers were going, oh, that's a big drop right there. And he didn't drop the ball. I mean, the guy slammed into his hands with his helmet at the instant the ball got there. I didn't think it was a big deal. But something like that gets counted as a drop by somebody and then another place doesn't count it. Whatever. The point is, the drop passes have been a bit of an issue, but not as big as maybe it's been made out to be. Bruce Arians kind of got a little bit snippy when it was brought up to him, and he said, I don't know who the hell counts these numbers, and it's not that big of a... And yeah, watching the games just as a fan without actually counting these things, I haven't felt like drop passes have been a huge issue. But either way, the point is, Tom Brady has played better than his raw numbers suggest. And so, what are you doing with all these numbers? Like, when you're trying, are you trying to, like, say a team should be 4-1 when they're 3-2 or 5-0 and they should be 4-1, whatever? No, we're not. You are what your record says you are. But predictive stuff going forward, you're trying to figure out maybe who's been playing better than they should be as far, maybe their record shows they're not as good as they should be, or the other way around where a team is better than their record. Whatever it is, I think the Bucs right now are trending up, and at 3-2 have probably played, as according to their play, more to a 4-1 type of record. And the Packers certainly, I believe, can be had here. So if you look defensively, obviously not having Vita Vea, Raheem Nunez-Rochus, who has played, it's not like he's just getting thrown in here. He's played an average of 24 snaps a game so far, but now he'll be the prominent guy up there in the middle. And it, obviously he's not Vita Vea, but he can play. And that's going to be, to me, the biggest storyline with the defense going forward is seeing how that affects everything else around him. Shaq Barrett this week has a good matchup. So on one hand, you look at that, and the Packers have a right tackle, Billy Turner, who's normally a guard, but now he's playing right tackle. As a guard last year in 2019, he surrendered 45 pressures in the season, which was more than any other guard. And now he's playing a tougher spot at right tackle. He's the one Barrett's going to be going up against. So that's a good, that's a place where we could chow a little bit with Barrett. But Barrett also has been doing all of his work this season with what? Vita Vea next to him, in front of him, with two guys, one guy in each hand, every single time getting double teamed. Now, that may not be the case with Nunez-Rochus, and that might make things a little bit harder. You know, everything's related. Everything's a chain reaction. So on one hand, I like the matchup that Barrett's got in front of him because he's going up against someone who can be beaten. On the other hand, yeah, let's see. I mean, it's not just Vita Vea himself making plays. It's Vita Vea taking up two defenders every single time and having everybody else have to make adjustments because of that. And the Bucs are going to lose some of that. So we'll see how that goes, but that's something to watch. Jamel Dean has been playing his ass off, by the way. I found this stat, and it was I didn't realize that he'd been this good. He was basically, week 9 last season is when he started being a regular. And since that game, league-wide, okay, in week 9 last season, he has four forced incompletions last week. His career total is 19. He's got more forced incompletions than anyone else in the league since he started playing as a regular in week 9 last season. He's got three more than who's in second place? Carlton Davis, his teammate. So the Bucs secondary, and those young guys in particular, has really, really made strides going back to about the midway point of last year. And so, Devontae Adams is going to be there for the Packers, and that's going to be something to watch too. I'm looking forward to that. But I think the Bucs defense can be up for this, and I think the Packers defense is something where they've been playing well if you just look at nothing but the surface numbers. But if you go a little deeper, you realize they haven't had to face competition as tough as what they'll likely face with the Bucs this week, and they've had some injuries to opposing offenses that have helped them out as well. So looking forward to seeing how it all goes. But and one other thing as far as the situations that I forgot to mention, and this one is something that goes all the way back through Tom Brady's career, but Tom Brady, just in the last 12 times he's lost a game, he's 9-3 in the game after that. So he doesn't lose two in a row very often. In his whole career, off of a loss, he's 45-22 against the spread. Now, in this case, the spread's only 1 point, so it's basically a win-loss thing anyway. But career Tom Brady, 45-22 against the spread after a loss. So all these things, if I was just a completely unemotional gambler where I was like looking at handicap games and I wasn't a Buck fan or anything like that, I would like the Bucs in this situation to begin with. This seems like a decent situation for them. The Packers are a really good team. Just because they've had some breaks doesn't mean they're not good. They are very good. And so this is not going to be easy. It is going to be fun, though. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm definitely looking forward to just any type of Buccaneer football just to get the taste out of the Thursday night game out of our mouths from last week. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. It's BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And you can get me on Twitter. Same thing, @BobbyGameDay. Looking at the rest deficit for this game, that was something we talked about on the schedule when the schedule came out, and the Bucs actually caught the short end of it this year where they're playing more games where they have a shorter rest deficit than the other team. Now, the Bucs are on a long week this week, so I'm not sure how much it matters, but the Packers are off a full bye, so the Packers actually do come in more rested, even though the Bucs got their long week here. And so I think there's only one game the rest of the season where the Bucs are coming into the game with more rest than their opponent. Little things like that matter on a macro level where you look at large sample sizes of games. I'm not sure how much it matters in any one single week, but just something else to keep an eye on. And another thing to keep an eye on right now, league-wide, besides just the Bucs, is there are more COVID issues happening right now. Atlanta, it was reported the other day, they had some positives, plural, and then it turned out later on that those reports were exaggerated and that they had one person test positive, and it wasn't a team guy, it was a staff, like an office person or something. So that one didn't seem as bad as it was originally reported. Now, this morning, the Colts supposedly have multiple ones, and this is like happening now, so by the time you listen to this, there may be more information available. I'm doing this Friday morning pretty early. But as of now, yeah, the Colts have shut down their facility. The Falcons thing, as long as it isn't as big of a deal as it first sounded like, should be okay. But you got to understand, every week that goes by, first of all, it's a good thing every week that goes by that we get games played. But second of all, that's one less available week to move things around. So, you know, every time a team has their bye, and the Bucs have their bye late in the season, which could help them, depending on what else happens. But just for the league in general, like the Falcons. The Bucs play the Falcons in week 15 and week 17. They play them twice in 3 weeks to close the season. But hypothetically, if something were to go wrong with the Falcons and they had to start moving games around, then other games would get moved too. So even if it's not a team you're playing that week, anybody on your schedule has any issues, even if they're down on, you know, a month, 2 months down the road on your schedule, that could affect you if things get started to get moved around a bunch, which they are. Yeah, we see it with college, like the Florida LSU game this weekend now got postponed. I thought they should have moved that game to just a couple weeks from now when the Gators have a bye week. LSU's game could have been moved to what is their bye week, their game that week. And then you still, see, when you use up your last week's first, you know, then you don't have any room to move if something happens again later. The NFL right now, and we are hosting the Super Bowl this year, has still said February 7th is the date. But they could move it back, you know, if they end up having to do that. The Pro Bowl, if you missed it this week, has been officially called off. And so that week that they have between the conference championships and the Super Bowl is still there, and that could be used without moving the Super Bowl. But they also could move the Super Bowl back if they have to. Now, right now, I don't know what you think. This is just me saying this. I would place the odds of the Super Bowl being played on February 7th. The date it's scheduled. This is just me, like just total gut feeling. I'm not basing this on anything. I feel like that's 50-50, right? Like, don't you feel like, yeah, it could be that day. It could be February 14th. I hope they don't have to go any further back than that. I don't know. I will say I was disappointed the Pro Bowl was called off, by the way, because one of my just favorite little indulgences every year is gambling on the Pro Bowl. And I didn't think, even before this official announcement, that it would reasonably be played, but you know, whenever the Pro Bowl comes around, it's always the second to last football game of every year. College football's already over. There's the Super Bowl left to go. I'm already getting sad usually about there not being any football left, and I'm just hanging on to whatever I can hang on to. So I watch the hell out of the Pro Bowl. People always make fun of the Pro Bowl. In a normal year, when the calendar is the way it is, it falls in a week where there's nothing going on. I mean, February is a dead sports month. You've got college basketball, but not yet March Madness. You got hockey's, you know, just kind of going through the motions, waiting for the playoffs. February's got nothing. So the Pro Bowl, which, by the way, for as much as people make fun of it, gets better ratings than most other sports playoff games, you know, it's there. And there's nothing more fun than, I remember a few years ago, I bet the under or something on the Pro Bowl. And a team was attempting a field goal on the last play of the game. And the field goal didn't matter because it was still going to be under. But a touchdown would hurt me. But hey, whatever. Who cares, right? So they attempt the field goal. It gets blocked. This is supposed to be a real live action football game. The field goal gets blocked. The defensive team picks the ball up. Then they start running toward the end zone. And this is going to blow my under, okay? Like, he's going to score. But all the players for both teams just start running on the field, you know, laughing, playing grab ass the way they do at the Pro Bowl. And it was almost like the Stanford band play with Cal Stanford. Like, the guy with the ball, nobody even bothered to try and tackle him, but he's running through all these different people, like media people, players from both teams. They were already doing the handshake, and he's like running down the field, and I'm screaming at the TV, you can't count that. You can't count this touchdown. I didn't know if they were going to count the touchdown. Like, there was still time on the clock. Like, it was not over, but yet everybody was acting like it was over. And it was a huge controversy on gambling Twitter. Nobody who didn't gamble on the game even noticed or would have given a damn. But I remember those few moments of just sheer terror watching this guy run down the field with people shaking hands all over the place. And they decided not to count the touchdown, and I got my under bet. That's living right there, man. I mean, especially when you've only got one football game left the whole year. I mean, it was terror, but I almost wish I could bottle those few seconds up of when he's running with the ball and I didn't know if they were going to count the touchdown or not. Because that, you know, they could use that instead of the paddles, you know, when they turbocharge you at the hospital and try and jack you up. You could just give me that same feeling from watching that guy return the kick or the blocked field goal and possibly blow. And I think the bet was for like $10. It was a completely inconsequential amount of money, but it doesn't matter. That's the point. That's exactly the point, and that's why it was so much fun. So I'm going to pour one out for the Pro Bowl. Hope it's back in 2021, or I guess calendar year 2022. This year would have been 2021. But they're not playing it. As far as the Super Bowl, that is on for February 7th right now. I don't want to complain too much because awful things have happened with COVID all over the world and then specifically in America, and people have died and things like that. So I don't want to make it sound like I've lost perspective. But Tampa's really been hammered just event-wise more than any other. Like, I mean, right out of the gate, we had the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament here. And FSU was probably going to be there because they were going to be a top four seed. Everybody was all jacked up for that. Boom, that gets canceled. Whole NCAA tournament gets canceled. Then WrestleMania gets canceled, which I had tickets to. Everybody was excited about it. Now, they have said they're going to have WrestleMania here next year. Although I'm not even sure if by then that'll even be tenable, because this is not going away as fast as any of us thought. And, you know, whatever their date is in the spring, and they could move it, I guess. But, you know, they've said they're going to try and keep it here and just bump it back a year. So that'd be great. But we lost that for now, number two. Then the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, which, again, I'm not complaining about because I'd rather win the Stanley Cup than not. But the whole thing takes place thousands of miles away. Nobody can go anywhere near it. It's just a TV event, basically. Now the Rays, same thing. They've got the potential to clinch a World Series berth if they win one of the next two games, and that's going on thousands of miles away. No one here has got anything to do with it. It's just a TV event. And then, of course, this is a Super Bowl year, and even if they get the game played, and I'm not sure how many people would even be there or not be there, but this is just a crappy year to have the Super Bowl, right? Like, you always get the Super Bowl's not just the game, it's about all the stuff during the week, the parties, everything that comes to your city. We've had it here four times. It's always a ton of fun. You don't have to be going to the game to feel a part of it, and there's so many events around town and just action. Like, you feel the buzz. That's not going to be the case. Even if they play the game here, which they probably still will, it just sucks. Like, I'd rather not have it this year and move it to another year. And they could play it in some TV studio or something in Burbank if they want to play this. But anyway, I guess we got to take what we can get. It's going to be years before we get another one. So, you know, I guess make the best of it. And hopefully they can get it all taken care of. But I will say this to all the naysayers and all the people that just love to immediately jump to conclusions anytime the slightest little sliver of bad news gets delivered. And we've been hearing it going all the way back. I remember before the NHL was going to do their bubble in the NBA, and all these people, when they, you know, someone would, there'd be an article, well, here's the NHL's plan, they're going to have so-and-so here and so-and-so there and two bubbles, and people would be like, oh, just stop, just cancel the season already. This whole thing is, they're never going to be able to do this. Just cancel. I can't. What did they do? They successfully pulled the whole thing off, got it done, awarded a Stanley Cup, awarded an NBA championship, on and on and on. Baseball. Remember the first week of the baseball season? What happened? Or maybe it was 2 weeks in. And the Cardinals had those tests. And there were a couple of teams, the Marlins. And they were like, some teams had played 20 games. And some teams had played five. And there was these smartasses. There's always these smartasses. Oh, well, that was fun while it lasted. Up. I guess that's the end of that. No, screw you. It's not the end of that. They played the whole season. Now they're playing the playoffs, too. Don't be one of those. Those are the worst people. Do not be one of those people that anytime anything goes wrong, oh, well, there goes that. We can't do that. Put your head down. Keep your legs moving. Put one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. You're hearing it now with the NFL. News this morning about the Colts. Go on Twitter. Actually, don't go on Twitter. I don't even recommend anybody go on Twitter. But if you go on Twitter, you'll see, oh, well, I guess that was fun while it lasted. There goes the NFL season. No, there doesn't go the NFL season. They will isolate it. They will quarantine if they have to. They will move games, figure it the bleep out, and keep moving forward. You don't cancel everything at the slightest little drop of a hat. Obviously, safety comes first, but yeah. Oh, I forgot. Nick Saban, Alabama head coach, reported positive this week. He's not the first coach. There's been a few others, but obviously Nick Saban's a much higher profile. He's the most prominent coach in college football, and besides Bill Belichick, probably the most prominent coach, period, in football. So, everybody there. Oh, well, there goes the SEC season. If Nick Saban's got it, there's no way they're going to be able to play. Yeah, they'll figure it out, okay? And if it becomes completely untenable, then at that point you can cancel the season. But see, here's the thing. It's always easier to stop something at a moment's notice than to restart something. So you don't just stop doing things when a little itty-bitty thing goes wrong. You wait until it's like, yeah, okay, there's no way we can go forward. Then if they have to, yes, they can. That still could happen. I hope it does not. I think college football season's going to get played. But so far they've played whatever hundred, you know, X hundred amount of games they've played. And a few have been moved, a few have been postponed, like Florida LSU. So fine, postpone them. Play them on the most the next available open date. But don't be one of those people. It's just a warning. I'm trying to do a public service announcement because there's people who are like that. There's people who are fatalistic. Now, I'm not just talking about sports, just in general. And every time something goes wrong, they throw their hands up. Well, this is why it can't happen. It was a bad idea. Or there's always the I knew people. I knew that was going to happen. Yep, I knew that. Shut up. I don't care what. Every time something goes wrong, somebody probably predicted it. Sure. You never hear those people going, oh, I knew that was going to be successful. I knew they were going to get everything done that they said they would, despite all the obstacles. I knew they'd overcome. No, it's only, oh, I knew this was going to be a problem all along. I said this when they said their plan, that it was a bad idea. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear that, okay? Nobody wants to hear about how you were such a fortune teller that you knew something could go wrong. Everybody knows something could go wrong, okay? The people that get things done don't get deterred. And I'm not saying to do it at the risk of putting anybody's safety at risk. And I don't think they're doing that. If the Colts have positives, they'll figure it out. But, you know, it has been different this year. Obviously, last night was Thursday night. There was supposed to be a Thursday night game, but that had been moved because other games, you know, it's a chain reaction, so there was no Thursday night game. And with the Rays playing an early game that was over by, like, whatever it was, 9:30, I was sitting there with my remote, like, what? Where's the? I want to watch the football now that the Rays lost in a walk-off, and there's no Rays game here. What? Or no football game here. What's going on? I knew there was no football game, but on the bright side, anybody watch the Bills-Titans Tuesday night? It was an awful game. It sucked. Doesn't matter. It was Tuesday night football. It was great, right? Like, let's start having games every night if we can, if we need to. I don't mean go out of our way, but if COVID, you know, mandates that are of COVID circumstances make it necessary. Hey, Wednesday night's on the table. Tuesday night's on the table. Friday night's on the table. You probably couldn't play Friday night, though, or you wouldn't need to because you could just play that Sunday. But you can play a game on Tuesday and have that team come back and play again on Sunday if you need to. I thought it was great having an NFL game Tuesday. There needs to be a major sporting event on TV every single night. And this month of October, which is always a great time of year, has been that way this year as well because, I mean, if you look at it, especially with the Rays being where they are, you've got a major event every single, like right now, it's Friday. We have a Rays game tonight. So that's one. Then Saturday's college football, Sunday's NFL football, Monday's Monday night football, Tuesday the World Series starts. Then you'll have Tuesday and Wednesday games 1 and 2. World Series is off on Thursday, but that's football on Thursday. World Series picks back up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, along with football. Then Monday night, the World Series of the week after this coming up, Monday night's an off night, but there's Monday night football. Then Tuesday and Wednesday would be game 6 and 7 of the World Series. So as I sit here right now on October 16th, I need binoculars to see the next time that there will be a night where I'm bored because there's no sports on TV. And that's a good thing. For those of us trying to maintain, you know, some sense of just, hey, I want to look forward to something all day that's coming up that night. And like I've told you before, maybe I need to get a life. Maybe televised sporting events are too much of a part of my life. But I love having something on every night. I get my kids to bed. I come downstairs. Boom. It's not even a gambling thing because I haven't gambled in a while. I've been trying to just enjoy it this year, you know, have fun with everything. But I would have gambled on that Pro Bowl I was talking about. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. If you want to, you send me an email. It's BobbyGameDay. And on Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameDay, if you want to check out what's going on over there. I do want to say one more thing before we wrap it up here regarding the Rays game and potentially games. But there's right now one Rays game scheduled that is later on at 6:07. If you're listening to this on Friday, the game may have been played by the time you hear this. But the Rays, as you know, took a 3-0 lead in their American League Championship Series. That lead has since become 3-2, and they've got two more chances. Obviously, you hope they don't need both of them, but they've got two more chances to win that and get a berth in the World Series. So I already heard it last night after the Astros hit the walk-off homer to make it 3-2 in Game 5. Oh, boy, the Astros have all the momentum now going into this Game 6. I don't like this. I'm always going to try and educate here on this show, okay? Momentum. I mean, you could argue about if momentum even exists at all inside the confines of a single game, which I don't believe it does. But there is no momentum from game to game. Like, we should not have to argue about that. The Astros winning 2 in a row, just like the Rays winning 3 in a row, does not make it any more or less likely you're going to win the next game, okay? In a 3-2 series or a 2-2 series or any series, it does not matter who, what, won, which games in which order. All that matters is the series. Like, if it's 3-2, it doesn't matter if one team won 3, then the other team won 2, or if they want win-loss, win-loss, or whatever the hell. It doesn't matter, okay? There is no such thing as momentum. Like, the Astros don't have any momentum tonight. The Rays and Astros will play. Momentum really is the most important thing, is the next day starting pitcher. That's momentum, who's starting. So we got Blake Snell starting. Now, the Rays would have liked to have had Blake Snell start game one of the World Series on Tuesday. Instead, they're forced to use him, and, you know, obviously you got to get to the World Series, so that's all that matters. Fine. Okay. You know, you didn't get the sweep. You didn't win in 5. But there is no advantage tonight for the Astros because they have won 2 in a row. There's no momentum. Every game is an independent event. If you internalize nothing else about today's show, please internalize that. Like, because I heard, you know, all the cliches come out. I even had a couple friends. It wasn't just Twitter. I had a couple friends texting me, "Oh, the Astros have the momentum." Get out of here. There's no. And the Astros might win. I have no idea who's going to win or lose. But it won't be because they won the last two games. It'll be because they won again tonight. And I feel pretty good having Blake Snell going for the Rays. That's more important than any momentum. I think they have a pretty decent guy going too. I have to look up. But the point is, you know, hopefully by the time you hear this, the Rays will be in the World Series. Whatever happens, though, get these old cliches out of your head and momentum. I mean, even in, like, inside of a game, like a basketball game, you know, this team goes on a 10-2 run. They've got the momentum. I mean, there's runs in every game for both sides. It really isn't. People like to think it's momentum. It's not. So anyway, little soapbox there at the end because I get bugged by that. Hopefully we have a big sports weekend here. Hopefully the Rays are in the World Series and the Bucks are 4-2 by the time we do next week's show. But in the meantime, I want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, our sponsors. I want to thank the Joes, JoeBucksFan.com, for giving me this platform. This is the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage. And for them to allow me to be on it is a privilege every single week. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. Hopefully I helped get your weekend started right. Let's have a fun one. I love the 4:25 kickoff on Sunday, especially it's getting dark a little earlier now, so it'll kind of be getting darker in the second half. Lights will come on. It's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it, and I think the Bucks are going to be in for a good one this weekend. Have fun. Have some friends over to watch it, socially distance, all that. But whatever you do, be safe. Take care of yourselves. I'll talk to you next week, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.